Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Friday, July the 10th. And I'll just repeat what I said yesterday. This is probably the hottest day of the year. It's in the high 90s, maybe 96, I think it is right now. It feels like triple digits. And I think Texas today could be referred to as Oven USA. This is just an oven. And that's all I can tell you. I mean, it is just unbelievably hot here in the Lone Star State. I don't know what else to say other than that. It's just unbelievably hot. So stay inside or go to the swimming pool. And if you go outside, make sure you cover, you wear a hat, because you don't want to get a sunburn up there. And if you are walking around or you're going anywhere, make sure you have plenty of water, because you can get dehydrated in this type of weather very, very quickly. Well, the big story today is Goya Foods versus the left. This is an incredible story in so many ways, but I will tell you, we're going to get into it in a minute. This story, I really think, really gets to the heart of what this election is all about. And I'll tell you why I feel that way. It's just incredible what the other side is doing to basically destroy anybody who disagrees with them. And it is scary. It's very scary. But it is who we're up against. And if you haven't figured that out, this is who we're up against. Well, let's talk a little bit about Goya and what happened with that fine company. Goya Foods, for those of you who may not be familiar with it, it's a company based in New York. I think it was actually started in Puerto Rico, by a Spanish family that went to Puerto Rico and eventually found its way to New York and started this amazing company called Goya Foods. And they are, you know, they're one of the biggest providers of Caribbean food in the United States. I mean, black beans. If you have ever been to a Cuban restaurant and you've had black beans, that's what I'm talking about. And they are just a very successful company. They employ, I don't know how many people, but hundreds, if not thousands of people. Their products can be seen in just about every food store, every food retail store that you go to in any of the different neighborhoods around the country. I mean, if you go into a Puerto Rican neighborhood, a Cuban neighborhood in Miami, anywhere that sells Caribbean foods, you're going to see their cans, Goya Foods, black beans or this or that. Super, super popular company, a very good product that they've put on the shelf for many, many years. So the CEO of that company went to the White House to participate in a proclamation that President Trump was making about Hispanic Prosperity Week. He invited several people, among them the CEO of Goya, who then made some very complimentary remarks about President Trump. And that's when the left just went berserk. I mean, just berserk. You've got AOC saying that this company should be boycotted. You've got Julian Castro in San Antonio saying that there should be, people should think carefully before buying the products of this company. First of all, I think AOC and Julian Castro do not really understand who this company is, because there are people working in their districts and there are people who have businesses in their districts or their cities because of this company. So they probably need to get their act together and find out more about who this company is. But anyway, so they just went after this man. And you would have thought that this man had committed the biggest sin since I don't know what. But, you know, they wanted to go after him and just started saying all kinds of negative things about him. So here's a man who has probably his family, I should say. I think he's the third or fourth generation of that family. But anyway, third or fourth generation, whatever. But that family has probably done more to create prosperity in the Hispanic community, jobs, and just business, period, than the entire Democrat Party, right? That family. And now they're being attacked, I guess, because they're not, or they're pro-Trump. And of course, if you're pro-Trump, we don't even know if he is pro-Trump. All he did was make a complimentary remark about President Trump. He called him a builder, okay, which of course he was. But the left just went crazy. I mean, literally crazy. And you have to sit there and you ask yourself, what are these people, I mean, what is going on in their heads? Now, some of it is just this hatred of Trump that has really gone beyond politics. This is no longer about politics for these people. I mean, when you're calling for the boycott of a company that employs hundreds, I'm going to say hundreds, probably thousands of Hispanics, then obviously, you know, this is not about politics, because if you understood politics and economics, you wouldn't be calling for a boycott of this company. I mean, that just doesn't make any sense. So this is a hatred of President Trump that is in many ways driving these people way over. I mean, these people are like, whatever the expression is, but these people are way over the line. I mean, this is no longer political analysis or politics. This is the kind of stuff that you go to a psychiatrist for. And that's what's happening on the other side, frankly. So, you know, the left went nuts, but to his credit, the CEO of Goya went on TV and said, I'm not taking anything back. You know, no, I don't apologize for what I said. I said what I said. And it's so nice to see that. It is so nice to see that. Somebody actually stand up to these people and say, no, I'm not going to take back what I said. That is so nice. That is so nice to see that. But there's a larger point here that I mentioned in the introduction, and that this is what this election is really all about. Yeah, it's about Trump, it's about Biden, obviously, but this is who will win if Trump loses. I mean, if Joe Biden is, God forbid, elected president of the United States, these are the people who are going to win. These are the people who are going to feel emboldened because they're going to say, hey, we won. We're on the right side of history, as they like to say. And they're going to do this kind of crap even to a bigger scale than they're doing right now. So, you know, if you're listening to me out there and you're a little frustrated with Trump because of the coronavirus, or you're frustrated because he tweets, or you're frustrated because he gets into sometimes what appears to be silly arguments with people that much of the country doesn't know, like Don Lemon of CNN. If you're frustrated by those things, I get, you know, I understand. He frustrates me sometimes, too, when he does those things. But look at the big picture. Look at the big picture. Because whatever you may think of President Trump, and I think he's done actually a very good job. I think he's done an excellent job as president of the United States. Whatever you think of his personality, look at the other side and tell me if those are the people that you want running the country. If those are the people who you want writing the history books that your kids are going to read. If those are the people who are going to be going after everybody they disagree with, the way they went after the CEO of Goya today. So this is what you really have to think about. This is really, I mean, in many ways, as I said before, this is really no longer about President Trump. This is about a group of people in our society who are frankly dangerous. I'll just put it that way. They're dangerous. And if they're not rejected in November and rejected in a dynamic, I mean, just a convincing manner, a wipeout, in other words. If they're not rejected in November, they will continue to be like this. And if they win, they will be like this multiplied by 20. I mean, this will become the order of the day. If you disagree with them, they're going to shut you down and they're going to put you out of business. That's what we're talking about. We're going to take a little break and we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, and I'm just going to say it again. What we have seen here with the statues, the monuments, going after people they disagree with, like they did with with the CEO of Goya. I can't think of his name right now, but anyway, the CEO of Goya. What these people are doing, that is exactly what they're going to do if they win, but they're going to do it to an even bigger scale. So this is what you got to think about in 2020. This is really more than a presidential election. And I know we say that a lot at presidential elections. I think this one, for real, it's about the country. It's about the country and what kind of a country we're going to have in the future. So if you don't want to see this kind of stuff, make sure you vote for Trump and you vote Republicans, because that's the only way. I'm not saying the Republicans are perfect, but that's going to be the only way, frankly, to stop this kind of nonsense, to put Republicans in the majority, because with Republicans in the majority of the House and Republicans in the majority in the Senate and a President Trump, this garbage will stop, because you're just not going to have the votes to bring it to the floor. Well, we're having a big debate in the country about, you know, kids going back to school. I happen to think that they should go back to school. I think that, look, I understand there's good people here on both sides, and it's not a black and white issue when you're talking about health. But I just think the kids are better off in school, learning and in the classroom. The schools can take whatever precautions they need to take, but I think the kids are better off in school than at home, because I'm not sure they're going to learn it much at home. And in many cases, their mothers work. Both parents are working. Or even if they're not working, I mean, the mother and the father could be working from home themselves, which means that I don't know who's going to be supervising these kids on an online school. So the kids have got to get back to school, and we got to do whatever we have to do to make sure that we are disinfecting the schools and following the procedures we have to follow. And if we do that, I think we'll get through this okay. The mayor of New York is an absolute joke. I just don't know how else to say it. He gets together with a bunch of people and they paint Black Matters Lives in front of the Trump Tower. What exactly is that going to do? Nobody's clear. But he's now, apparently he said that nobody can gather in large numbers except Black Lives Matter. Well, that's besides that probably being unconstitutional, it really tells you anything you need to know about this man who's frankly making a joke out of the city of New York. And he's driving a lot of people out of the police force, I'll tell you. I'll tell you that right now. Let me put in a good word for the governor of Maryland, Governor Hogan, who you may recall that Nancy Pelosi was asked the question yesterday about the Columbus statue in Baltimore. Now, Nancy Pelosi has a connection to that statue because it went up when her father was the mayor of Baltimore back in, I guess, the 50s. And then her brother was also the mayor of Baltimore, I guess, in the late 60s or so. And so this, you know, this particular statue has a connection to the Pelosi family. And, you know, the statue was destroyed or vandalized or removed or whatever. And they asked Nancy Pelosi about this, and she said, well, you know, people are going to do what they're going to do. Well, that's apparently the governor of Maryland didn't like that. And he came down pretty hard on the speaker, saying, hey, you know, you should remember your ties to Baltimore. That statue has a connection to your family. But again, you know, I think what we can conclude is that Democrats are just afraid of confronting these people. They're afraid of confronting these people in the streets. They're afraid of saying anything about them because they fear they're going to turn on them. And it's very irresponsible on the part of people like Nancy Pelosi, but that is what's happening. They're very sad, but they're afraid of confronting people who are blowing up, you know, buildings and, you know, removing statues and throwing them into the lake. I mean, they're just afraid of confronting these people. Well, a quick baseball note, Joe DiMaggio on this day in 1941 hit number 50 and became the first player ever to reach number 50. And he's still the only player who has had a 50-game hitting streak. And, of course, DiMaggio had more games to go in history, but he hit number 50 today in 1941. You know, the closest thing to 50 that we've ever had to Pete Rose, 44. So 50 is pretty amazing. Thank you for listening. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you later.